Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
This is episode 374. Welcome back to the program. This week we have a couple of papers and just a reminder that we will not have a show on the 23rd or the 30th of this month due to the new year. We'll be back on the 6th of January for new programming. But of course, there still is next week, which is the 16th. The papers I have for you this week are an original piece that I had written just a couple weeks ago. I've also got one from the December-January issue of California Freemason from back in 2016. It is a really neat article and kind of appropriate for this time of year when we are out in public and meeting and dining and talking to people and just in general making more contact with those around us. Before we get into the papers and all of that, I did want to mention I am in the process of putting together an article which addresses a lot of the hype that's happening right now within Freemasonry on the internet, which is of course this idea that the fraternity is dying. Is Freemasonry dying? Is it irrelevant? All of these posts that are going viral all over social media. And I had addressed them in the past with a piece that I did for the Midnight Freemasons, but I decided at the request of a couple of brothers to update it, add to it, and republish it. So that'll be coming. It may even be coming tomorrow. I'm not entirely sure, but My plan is to get that out there before it is no longer relevant, so keep an eye out on the Midnight Freemasons for that as well. But let's get into these papers right after this. The Whence Came You podcast is brought to you through the generous support of Masonic Revival, contemporary Masonic designs made for today's Freemason. You don't have to settle for throwing a plain old square and compass on anything anymore. Now you get something truly designed and truly wonderful. Whether it's aprons, awesome pins, and wonderful neckwear, bow ties, ties, pocket squares, you name it, Masonic Revival has it. Head on over to MasonicRevival.com and check out what they have to offer. If you use promo code WCY at checkout, that means free shipping also. And make sure if you see Brother Edgar, tell him thanks for helping bring this program to all of you. And this program is also brought to you by all of you, those of you who support this program. We can't do it without you and your donations and all of your assistance, so thank you so much. To find out more about how you can assist this program, head on over to WCYpodcast.com and click on Support the Show. There you can make direct donations, sign up to be a monthly contributor, a fellow, or even a producer. And thanks very much to everybody for donating. So the first piece I have for you this week is called Musings on Masonic Retirement. Kind of. And it's by me, your host, Robert H. Johnson. I published this on the Midnight Freemasons, say 3 or 4 weeks ago. It got some good traction, so I thought maybe it would be appropriate for the program and you would find some enlightenment within it. So here we go. Musings on Masonic Retirement, kind of, by Midnight Freemason contributor and editor Robert H. Johnson. A fond memory. I did it. I retired as secretary. Kind of. As a man who found Freemasonry early in his life, and joined at the age of 27, I was somewhat unsure of the path that this new thing I was a part of, and where exactly it would take me. The lodge had a full line of officers. In fact, I remember putting my name on a yellow legal pad, which was a waiting list. At my mother lodge, you started as junior steward, and you made your way through a 7-year journey to the east. A progressive line. I was at the bottom of the list. Then, one Monday evening, I received some news. It seems as though our junior deacon had to step out of line due to a family situation. I was crushed to see my brother have to be in this situation. I had formed a bond with this guy. He was the closest to me in age. He and I had joked and become close. At least, in my mind. Every meeting we hung out. But now, he wouldn't be an officer. At the time, I thought, it wouldn't be so bad. I'd still see him, I thought. It's now been 8 years, and I haven't seen him at all. Looking back, I remember being asked, quote, Brother Junior Deacon had to drop out. We're moving you up to Junior Steward, okay? And that's when my life of Masonic service started. I gave it my all. My lodge didn't go dark. We met every Monday except for 5 or 6 times during the year for various things. In 7 years, I missed 3 scheduled meetings. I recall missing my first stated meeting. I got a phone call saying that I was put on the Ladies Appreciation Luncheon Committee. I was sure that I wouldn't miss another meeting without informing someone first. My year in the South was marked particularly because I was also made the Lodge Education Officer, a role I would expand upon later. My year in the East was to be glorious. We streamed the installation over the web. I had tons of people watching. We had standing room only. This was my year to push education, real education, not charity initiatives of Grand Lodge, not short talk bulletins, real Masonic history and discussing philosophy. It took 2 months worth of meetings to make me realize that it wasn't going to happen. It wasn't that I had low attendance or that people complained, although I did receive one complaint which I will always remember. As I was walking into the lodge meeting, somewhere within my second month as master, someone said, quote unquote, "Hey, let's get through tonight quickly. There's a game on." That was when I said it, without thinking, and in front of the lodge. Looking back, it probably made me look like a tyrant. My response was, "If you're here for the minutes, I can email those to you. The door is that way. We have work to do." I never got another complaint, to my face anyway. Ultimately, my attendance averaged 15 members per meeting, and I was inundated with degree work. I was able to initiate 16 men, pass and raise 15 of them, and they were all singular degrees. That year, I was also made the district education officer. I oversaw the education of 7 lodges within my district. After I was done in the East, I moved in as secretary. I took over for a brother who'd been in the role for more than 20 years, the Masonic Norm. I knew I wouldn't do 20 years. I had 2 reasons. First, I wholeheartedly believe that this is bad for a lodge. It breeds stagnation in the way that we move forward. Secondly, I didn't want to be locked into one area geographically for any period. At this time, I was a first-year secretary. I was starting my second and final year as the district education officer, and I then went on to be the district deputy grand master, a role I went into and stayed for 2 years. A reprieve. All good things. It was the title of the Star Trek The Next Generation episode that I only watched once. I watched it live when it aired. I never watched it again. It was kind of painful to watch. I really love The Next Generation. Just like in real life, everything comes to an end. This last month, I handed the secretarial reins over of Waukegan Lodge No. 78 to the immediate past master, a man I have much confidence in. And not completely unlike my stance on the last episode of The Next Generation, I won't go back to my mother lodge for a little while. She needs to find a new course, without me getting in the way. A new hope. Quote, 2 years ago, on a rainy drive to Grand Lodge Sessions, end quote. As my best friend and brother puts it, we began to muse on what our ideal lodge would be. What started as a hypothetical conversation has turned to reality. We did it. Currently, we are under dispensation. This new lodge feels invigorating. There's a lot of energy. Education is our main focus, and there's no getting around it. We built it into our bylaws. What's really amazing is that we've managed to come together, a team of 20 men, all who've longed for something like this. We found each other and are now in the midst of practicing something wonderful, great, magnanimous even. And where did I land in this new lodge venture? You might ask. Secretary, of course. Being a lodge secretary is both rewarding and stressful. You get to know the members of your lodge so intimately, even deeper than most other members will ever glean. The stress comes from implementing and communicating the worshipful master's plans. The getting to know you stuff? Well, that just sort of happens. If, as secretaries, we're doing our jobs, we do a lot of listening. We reassure, we make arrangements, we boost, and we console. I get jokes from my closest friends that I must be a glutton for punishment, but the truth is, I love Freemasonry, and I love being there to assist the lodge by holding the ropes. This piece has been a personal reflection, and while not my usual kind of post, I've been asked questions about what I'll do now that I'm retired as secretary. Well, now you know. I'm still a secretary. A really busy one. I largely pulled back on my Masonic involvement due to several reasons. Spreading myself too thin, missing out on family time, a shift in the way I feel about Freemasonry and its role in today's world. And of course, the most trying of issues, dealing with rumors and gossip regarding my personal religious beliefs, or rather lack thereof, apparently. A look back while moving forward. Having shed the skin of my previous Masonic life, leaving behind a job as secretary, jobs in my chapter and council, having nothing to do with ancient accepted Scottish Rite outside of the occasional attendance, I am focused on my own personal development, family, and the new lodge. It's really about making the most out of a truly wonderful experience, that is, a successful integration of these pieces. As I stated, this piece has been a reflection, and admittedly might have no real value to the reader outside of gaining some experiential personal feelings about what one man has been through. It's neither extreme nor tame. In fact, I would assume my story is pretty centered on the litmus test of this fraternity. But because I want to drive value in what I write, I would want to leave you all with something. So I leave you with a concept of building what you want. Work for it and trim the fat. If the time is right, then move your efforts to the thing which will impact you in the most positive of ways, the way in which you will grow the most. Typically the most uncomfortable, but also perhaps the most exciting. Ask yourself, am I excited to go to the meeting? Finally, I leave you with a quote that I and my brother Scott Duball have used time and time again, which has served us well in life when reflecting upon its meaning. The quote I am about to lay out is attributed to Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, although it is not confirmed. Quote, "If you want to build a ship, don't drum up the men and women to gather wood, divide the work, and give orders. Instead, teach them to yearn for the vast and endless sea." When we research this quote, what we find is that Antoine never really said it. In fact, he said something from which this simple version was born. In Citadel, The Wisdom of Sands, 1948, Antoine wrote the following more poetic and lengthy version, which I will leave you to ponder. "One will weave the canvas. Another will fell a tree by the light of his axe. Yet another will forge nails, and there will be others who observe the stars to learn how to navigate. And yet all will be as one. Building a boat isn't about weaving canvas, forging nails, or reading the sky. It's about giving a shared taste for the sea, by the light of which you will see nothing contradictory, but rather a community of love." Now, go forth and inspire, my brothers. Robert H. Johnson, Managing Editor, Midnight Freemasons. Now comes the point in the show where I ask you to help support this show. How do we do that? Well, we have a bunch of different ways to do that today. If you head on over to WCYpodcast.com, you can click on Direct Donation through PayPal, which we briefly touched on in the beginning of the program. Of course, you can make that one-time donation, or you can sign up to be a monthly contributor. Contributing $2 a month, $5, or even $10 a month, whatever you choose, really helps the program out. Of course, we have a limited edition shop where you can pick up any number of items that come direct from us. Help us out by going to MasonicRevival.com, but also we have some other affiliates that are really important. Bankers Best, one of the most unique things we've ever done, is to work with Brother Levi Banker out of St. Louis, who owns his own company called Bankers Best Beard and Skincare. He's been so generous. If you head to WCYpodcast.com, click on More, then click on Banker's Best, and you can check out a bunch of the different products he's got. He's got a whole line of beard care products, skin care, oils, balms, all of this stuff, and he has been doing it a long time. He knows a lot about it. Everything is handmade, quality items. We even came up with the King Solomon's Reserve Beard Balm, which is a few years old now, but remains one of the great products that he still offers. Even the artwork on the bottle was done by a brother. The nice thing about this particular product is 50% of the proceeds come back to the program. If you're a history guy like me, then you'll be pleased to know that what makes the beard oil and balm very special is that it was made utilizing the fragrances specific to the exports of King Solomon's time and location, which is amazing. So black fig and honey is the formula. Luxurious scent, as Levi says, truly fit for our first Grand Master. If you use the promo code BBWCY357 at checkout, you'll also get a little bit of a percentage off. Please check that out. Bankers Best, or just head on over to buybankersbest.com. We also have a code with Onnit. You can go to our website, click on More, then go to Onnit, and you can click through any of the links here, or just go to Onnit.com and use the promo code WCY at checkout. You'll get 10% off, and they'll send a little bit back to the program to help us out. And of course, it's business time. The book that I wrote with John T. Ruark, it is making some real waves, and people are using it and seeing success. So check that out on Amazon. You can click right to it. You can get it on Audible, Kindle, or in print, even on iBooks. And last but not least, I want to ask you to check out the Great Books program. You'll see the banner for it on the left-hand side, Intellectual Linear Progression. Use the promo code WCY, or you can just click on that link there, and you'll actually go right to the website and hear a little bit from Scott Hambrick about how awesome the program is. So that's it. I hope you guys enjoy, and thank you so much for helping us out. All right, so the next piece I have for you is called The Art of Being a Gentleman, a How-To Guide by Thomas G. Pfeiffer. Now, there is, of course, what most of you are probably familiar with, at least the art of manliness and all of their social media and blogs and all of that kind of thing. Of course, there is the wonderful Gentleman's Brotherhood. This was a little bit different. It's kind of just a how-to guide, a little bit about masonry, being compassion, thoughtful, kindness, dignity, humility, all those kind of things. An interesting article, and I think it is pretty neat, especially for this time of year. So this one comes courtesy of the California Freemason, December 2016. And of course, you can check out this issue just by going to California Freemason's website, which is the Masons of California at freemason.org. So here we go. The Art of Being a Gentleman, a How-To Guide by Thomas G. Pfeiffer. When I think of the word gentleman, a set of familiar images, most of them distinctly dated, comes to mind. A wealthy man in a top hat, a tux and tails, attending a gala affair. Someone with old-style manners who opens doors and relinquishes his seat on the bus for the ladies. The word gentleman in cursive lettering on a men's room door, not yet replaced by symbols. But is a gentleman simply a relic of the past? Or is there such a thing as a modern-day gentleman? And if so, how does one characterize him? Defining the modern gentleman. Men's roles and responsibilities have shifted considerably during the late 20th and early 21st centuries. Business, industrial, and military careers traditionally limited to men are now pursued by both genders, and childcare and household duties are no longer exclusively a woman's province. Social perception in the rules and expectations for men dovetailed with these economic changes, creating new opportunities while closing off old behavioral patterns. Today, men live in a world of expanded but sometimes confusing roles and choices. They are expected to communicate feelings rather than suppressing them. They may be primary caregivers rather than providers, or they may work in an atypical field. And yet, stigma remains if they express emotion freely, show non-sexual physical affection for other men, or choose non-traditional work or parenting roles. Every day at the Good Men Project, the online magazine where I work, we publish articles by men and women about what it means to be a man, specifically a good man today. As the publisher and chief executive officer of the Good Men Project puts it, quote, "We're having the conversation no one else is having," end quote. Modern men don't need tips on a specific way to dress, how big a salary is required to be quote-unquote successful, or even 12 surefire ways to get a date. Instead, they seek guidance for expressing their masculinity and embodying the ideal of a gentleman, while still escaping the limiting stereotypes of the past. Our writers explore manhood from a multiplicity of perspectives, and in doing so, present an array of opportunities for today's men to step into their roles as parents, husbands, employees, and friends in a creative way that bring them happiness and fulfillment. The truth is that the quote-unquote good man, whose characteristics we explore in detail at the Good Men Project and the modern-day gentleman, are one and the same. A man driven not by the need to conform, but by the desire to perform and to act out his life with grace, while honoring his goals and dreams, improving the lives of others, and setting a standard of conscious and compassionate conduct for his fellow men. The Gentleman's Code. I am a writer who explores definitions of masculinity. I am also a divorced, work-at-home father of two and a full-time parent, a prime example of a man with an atypical work and family role. But, Am I also a modern-day gentleman? An honest assessment would have me admit that, quote-unquote, walking the walk is not so easy. While the principles that guide the modern gentleman's behavior and decision-making may seem simple and straightforward, earning and keeping the title of gentleman requires a high level of commitment and discipline. In order to meet this charge, each gentleman establishes a code of conduct concerning both himself and others. To guide his actions and decisions, he must strictly adhere to this code, even in difficult moments when challenging circumstances arise. You may be wondering, what values comprise this code? The answer is different from man to man, as it is a composition that reflects his personal values and ethics. Yet each man's moral code is nearly always derived from the same set of principles, which closely align with Masonic philosophy and values. Personal growth, tolerance, education, diversity, philanthropy, family, community, and truth. By remaining grounded in these principles, the modern gentleman stays focused and centered and has an easier time achieving his goals. Life becomes simpler, choices become clearer, and both professional and personal relationships become stronger and more cohesive. While it matters greatly that a gentleman's choices and actions reflect his moral principles, how he arrives at these decisions matters even more. Although ethics is the bedrock of the modern gentleman's code, acting ethically isn't always as straightforward as it would seem, and it may not come naturally, even to a good man. This is because acting ethically means doing what is right and fair, and behaving in a way that is right and fair may not always make the gentleman feel at ease with his decision. Ethics doesn't always involve putting other people first, though it may. Sometimes it may require a gentleman to make choices for or against his own best interests or his family's. To a large degree, ethical behavior is learned. On a basic level, a gentleman must condition himself to avoid the instinct to cheat or cut corners, and to be honest and transparent in his personal and professional conduct. Although the ethical road may not always be pleasant or profitable, a gentleman understands that there is more to life than pleasure and prosperity. And there is another benefit to acting ethically. It allows the gentleman to move through life with honor, integrity, and purpose. His moral code is a map helping him navigate life's challenges and a set of tools for helping improve the world. A gentleman doesn't coast through life haphazardly, applying situational ethics to each difficult choice. Instead, he commits to following a path and leading others down it, secure in the knowledge that he is prepared for his journey and open to learning along its way. Acting like a gentleman. The textbook definition of a gentleman usually refers either to a man who treats others well or to one with social status. While these aspects are presented separately, the second is actually a direct consequence of the first. The better one treats people, the more one deserves and receives respect. And the bedrock of gentlemanly social behavior still takes place in our most intimate spaces, the family home. There are the families we are born into and ones we form through partnerships or marriage. For the modern gentleman, these families, integrated as one, are his highest priority. While he has his own interests and activities, he is deeply connected to his family and involves them as much as possible in his pursuits. He is committed to making time for his family, without the distraction of screens and devices, ensuring he is fully present. For a man who is a son, a brother, a husband, a partner, a father, or a stepfather, and perhaps a grandfather, family relationships are sacred gifts. Part joy, part responsibility. A gentleman understands that the key to a happy and successful family life is practicing respect, not only being respectful of others, but also taking a leadership role when it comes to ensuring respectful communication and interactions. He understands that his family will teach him how to love, negotiate for his needs and respect, and meet the needs of other people. He practices respect with his children and models respectful behavior with his partner in order to raise children who will practice respect in their own lives. By following his own code of conduct and promoting his values at home, the gentleman strengthens the family bond that is the cornerstone of his existence. Humans were not intended to live in isolation and beyond our families. We are also all members of a larger community. Villages, towns, suburbs, or neighborhoods within a city. Spread throughout these societies are groups of people with common interests, passions, pursuits, religions, and other affinities, including Freemasonry. While a gentleman may pride himself on self-reliance, he also acknowledges that he is part of a community, or more than one, and as such, that he bears a responsibility to contribute toward his betterment. Community service, therefore, does not smack of punishment to a gentleman. Instead, he sees it as a valued use of his energy and time. He is invested in his community and may take on a leadership role on a community board, serve a local charitable organization, or organize community events. He also teaches his children the importance of civic involvement. He understands that investing in community pays substantial dividends, not only by improving the area where he and his family live, but also by encouraging others, through his example of leadership, to give back as well. When we think of philanthropists, we may picture Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and more, and more recently, Mark Zuckerberg. Philanthropy sounds like a million-dollar word. It feels like it only applies to rich people. But a gentleman mustn't be rich to be a philanthropist, because giving isn't limited to money. The smallest contributions, especially time, spent connecting with and influencing another human being, can produce a huge and lasting impact on communities. Philanthropy is an attitude, a sense of ingrained generosity, and a commitment to giving generously of all personal resources, money, time, or skill-based services. It is an investment in others based on the knowledge that giving not only benefits the world, but also offers the giver important returns, recognition, personal satisfaction, and the joy of helping others. The gentleman knows that philanthropy isn't about exactly what or how much is given, but whether giving is consistent and meaningful. It is a lever to advance the values he believes in, including tolerance, education, diversity, and relief. The gentleman's perspective. To the modern gentleman, every member of the community is an equal, and no one should be denied basic rights, services, or opportunities. He practices tolerance, rejecting racism, sexism, homophobia, and any structural system of oppression as ungentlemanly, while embracing change, particularly shifts that remove stigma and benefit people who have been marginalized. A gentleman understands that a closed society will quickly stagnate, so he values fresh ideas, different ways of thinking, and divergent cultural influences. He knows that he is unlikely to learn from people who are exactly like himself or with a closed mind, so he constantly seeks new perspectives, ideas, and solutions. He is not afraid of diversity. Instead, he fears his life will be lackluster without it, and he takes great care to teach the importance of diversity to his children. Promoting diversity goes beyond accepting that differences exist. It requires practicing tolerance and encouraging differences because there is a value in them. Being open-minded and not allowing prejudice or emotional reactions to cloud judgment or color responses are the hallmarks of the modern gentleman's tolerant attitude. He believes that while other people's values may differ from his own, listening and seeking to understand their experiences is important to his growth as a human being. Quote unquote, "If perfection is stagnation," says the main character in Richard Bach's classic book, Illusions, then heaven is a swamp. In Masonry, the quest for ongoing self-improvement is defined through the metaphor of smoothing a rough ashlar into a smooth stone. There is no fixed state of perfection, because a Mason is constantly striving to be better. To adapt is to grow. A gentleman understands that learning is not limited to formal education. It is a lifelong commitment to expanding self-awareness. When it comes to the life stages of education, career, dating, marriage, and parenthood, the gentleman seeks out mentors, develops the skills he needs to succeed, and sees his life journey not as a short climb leading to a long plateau, but as an ongoing ascent to higher goals and accomplishments made possible by continuous learning. If knowledge is power, he is as power-hungry as they come, and yet a gentleman understands that he cannot only focus on improving himself. When it comes to education, he extends the ladder down instead of pulling it up after him. He believes that public education, the great equalizer, is essential, and he pledges time and resources to help educate his community, particularly those with limited means. He understands that empowering others has no risk, that in fact, the risk is in denying opportunities needed to thrive. Filling the world with educated people improves society as they make smarter decisions, tackle challenging projects, boost the economy, and pioneer new ways to solve problems. A good education promotes another of the modern gentleman's values, tolerance, by providing exposure to a variety of philosophies, beliefs, cultures, systems of ethical conduct, and students from diverse ethnic and religious backgrounds. And helping grant access to educational resources speaks to the gentleman's sense of fairness, reflecting his values of diversity, philanthropy, and community. Navigating a changing world. The rate of change in our fast-paced, global, technologically connected world keeps increasing. The distractions that tempt us to act in ways that run counter to core Masonic values, the values of the gentleman, are endless. The problems of the world are a moving target, and the modern gentleman must constantly address new challenges as they arrive. How does a gentleman remain focused and centered to sustain his efforts with so much happening around him? One way is for him to consider the many beneficial outcomes that flow from acting in line with his moral code. By remaining grounded in the time-tested wisdom of Masonic principles and his own core values, he can stay focused and centered. Life becomes simpler, choices become clearer, and both professional and personal relationships become stronger and more cohesive. By adjusting his focus and tactics while staying true to his core values or self and world betterment, the gentleman improves himself with each passing year while sharing his knowledge and wisdom to help others do the same. And fortunately, the gentleman's guiding principles offer a great deal of latitude to embrace a range of lifestyle and choices. And as a man in non-traditional work and parenting roles, I know that I am grateful for this wide measure of freedom. The practice of tolerance applies to the gentleman himself as well as to others, allowing him to be comfortable with sensitivity and compassion and unchaining himself from dated stereotypes. The pursuit of education broadens his horizons, and his commitment to diversity ensures exposure to and learning from people with different backgrounds and beliefs. His philanthropy can support any worthy cause, and he is not limited to static family configurations. Finally, his involvement in the community can be as narrow or as broad as he desires or has time for, as long as he is contributing with meaning and value. The modern gentleman is always striving to be a better version of himself, but the measure of achieving this goal may be different for each individual Mason and man. If applying the core principles to one's life is the science of being modern gentleman, expressing those principles individually in the way one lives is the art. The world and the roles of men in it will continue to change in ways we haven't yet imagined, but the principles of the modern gentleman can serve as a North Star in an unfamiliar sky. Editor's note: Thomas G. Pfeiffer is an author, speaker, and storyteller. He is the executive editor of the Good Men Project, an online community of thought leaders who explore modern masculinity. Again, this came from the December-January issue, 2016, California Freemason, and I urge you to share that with your brothers because I think it just embodies Masonry so wholeheartedly. So I hope you enjoyed. That's it for this week. I hope you all have a wonderful week as you likely listen to this on your way into work on Monday, or maybe on the train on the way home, or maybe you're in a truck driving across country, making it happen. Well, whoever you are out there listening, men, women, even maybe kids that are interested in what their dads or moms might be doing in the fraternity or their involvement in it, or they're curious about anything, whoever you are listening to this program, just want to say thank you so much for listening to it. And I really appreciate all of the support that we've received over the years. I know I say it almost every episode, but I can't do it without you guys, whether that's words of support in an email or contributions to the show or whatever. You guys make it happen. So thanks so much. I will talk to you all one last time this year, next week, on the 16th. So until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.